Imagine, like, trying to perform life-saving surgery while the national power grid is just completely collapsing around you.
Right, and violent protests are blocking the streets outside.
Exactly. Oh, and your hospital's budget has just been massively slashed.
Yeah, it sounds impossible, but that is the exact reality we are looking at today.
It really is. So for you listening, our mission in this deep dive is to explore how this massive public healthcare system doesn't just survive, but, actively innovates inside what they call a polycrisis.
And we're pulling all of this from the 2023-2024 annual report from the Western Cape Department of Health and Wellness.
Right. And here's where it gets really interesting, this whole concept of a polycrisis.
Yeah, because we aren't just talking about abstract financial modeling here.
No, I mean, they are managing this staggering combination of taxi strikes, massive floods, and load shedding.
Which is the national power grid failing, for those who might not know.
Right, load shedding and severe budget cuts all at the exact same time. It's like you're running a marathon and people are just throwing hurdles in your path.
Yeah.
And to make it worse, your budget for running shoes just got slashed to zero.
That is a very accurate way to put it. And what's fascinating here is how these intense constraints actually forced immediate innovation.
Well, yeah, because I'm looking at these budget cuts alongside the solutions, and I mean, the math just doesn't add up for me at first glance.
I know, right? Like, how are they affording huge capital expenses, like rolling out solar inverters at all these primary care facilities?
Exactly. If the budget is slashed, where's the money coming from?
Well, they realized the long-term cost of not having power was actually way higher. Load shedding was destroying the cold chain storage for vital medicines.
Oh, wow. So vaccines and things just going bad.
Exactly. It was paralyzing basic services. So by decentralizing the power supply down to the clinic level with solar, they basically stopped the bleeding of wasted resources.
That makes perfect sense. It's like a localized tourniquet.
Yeah, and they applied that exact same logic to specialized care too, with this sci-fi sounding tele-ICU robot.
Wait, robot. The report mentions it, but I mean, it's not just like an iPad on a stick, right?
No, far from it. It is a highly sophisticated mobile command center.
Okay.
So a senior specialist at Groote Schuur Hospital in Cape Town can zoom in on a patient's vitals, look at real-time telemetry, and precisely guide junior doctors' hands at George Hospital.
And George Hospital is what, like 400 kilometers away?
Yes, exactly.
So for you listening, just think about the efficiency there. This isn't just some flashy tech upgrade for a brochure. It's a crucial survival tactic.
Yeah, they are transferring high-level medical skills in real time.
Right. Totally bypassing the massive cost and risk of physically transporting critical patients across failing infrastructure.
Precisely. And because they saved money with solar and the tele-ICU, they could redirect those precious resources straight to the streets.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the raw data on trauma in this report is staggering. How does the system even function when the societal trauma load is skyrocketing?
It is under intense pressure. I mean, the forensic pathology numbers are very sobering.
Yeah, I have them right here. Almost 11,700 cases this past year. Homicides are up by over 10%,
And gunshot fatalities jumped 14%.
which is just wild.
Yeah.
And over 300 bodies remain completely unidentified. That requires a huge diversion of surgical and forensic
It
resources.
really does. The system certainly bends under that weight, and the trauma units effectively become the bottleneck for the entire system's capacity.
But there is this massive countertrend in the data that stood out to me.
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, there is a surprising contrast here.
Right, because normally post-COVID economic fears and high trauma, they directly correlate with spikes in childhood vulnerabilities. But child fatalities from severe acute malnutrition actually dropped.
Yeah, and not just malnutrition. There were fewer pneumonia and diarrhea deaths, too.
So what broke that historical correlation here?
Well, it comes down to a deliberate shift in strategy, specifically community-level interventions. They stopped waiting for severely sick children to eventually show up at the ER.
Oh, I see. So they actually deployed community health workers directly into the neighborhoods.
Exactly. They are aggressively screening for early signs of malnutrition and sickness before hospitalization is even needed.
Wow. So they're proactively handing out nutritional supplements and basic antibiotics at the household level.
Yeah, it's a proactive defense. It actively intercepts patients before they add to the hospital burden.
So what does this all mean? We are looking at a system juggling unimaginable daily trauma and brutal austerity.
But they aren't just holding the line. By intercepting vulnerabilities early, they achieve their sixth consecutive clean financial audit.
which is incredible. And their internal culture score actually improved despite all of this.
They are actively building a healthier organization while fighting fires on the outside.
It really is a masterclass in adaptation,
mm-hmm.
which leaves you with something to mull over today. Think about it. If a heavily constrained public health sector can use a polycrisis to successfully modernize with remote telemedicine and renewable energy.
Yeah, to really change how they operate.
Right. So what lingering inefficiencies in your own life or industry are just waiting for a crisis to force a brilliant breakthrough? Keep looking for those hidden opportunities.